Hey, let's go to our next guest, Bix, joining us, our AFL Tuesday man, talking all things football. Mickey Malthouse, brought to us by North Point Toronto. They've got what you're looking for. Hillcrest, Prospect, Jepps Cross, Port Augusta, or northpointtoyota.com.au. Mick, crikeys, this week just doesn't seem to be getting any easier for you, does it?
No, Ro, it hasn't. It's been a... We played a very good football side. We were pretty enthusiastic before the game. There's no doubting, you know, I always, one of the things I try to do is pre-game, or certainly lead-up time, is judge where the team's been. This is the opposition, of course, you know, what, how they play. And then you just try to fit. And I've done this since the year dot, try to fit how many of my players would fit in their side and how many of those would fit in my side. And not discarding any of my players, but just how many would fit in the side. And it's quite overwhelming how many players would fit into our football side. But as I say, not replacing them, just the fact, could they get a game with us? And on the contrary, on the counter thing, you try to think, well, how many would they take from us? So big discrepancy, and they played accordingly. They were just, you know, they were very, very good. In fact, you know, I was talking to Chris Judd after the game, and he said, I've never seen a side spread so well, so consistently, with so many players. You know, we tried to get about four or five through the middle. They had eight, and I think there was about five in the wings wanting to get in there, but couldn't get in there. So, no, they're a wonderful side. We didn't play, didn't put enough. We didn't take the opportunities, and then we didn't put enough pressure on them. And as a consequence, we got a real bath.
Mm. Hey, Mick, back page of the Herald Sun today. Time to walk. Would you ever walk?
No, I don't think that that's ever anything. Into my my being is, you know, life's been has its ups and downs. There's a few things that you look at. I didn't read the paper, you know, quite frankly. I did hear enough about it. But you know, there's always going to be circumstances, and the circumstances are this: if the board take it into their hands, well, you've got nothing to do. You can't do much about it because you are a servant of the football club, and that's their prerogative. Two is if you think that the players don't want you there. And it's not a matter of just half a dozen. If it's considerable, then you've got an obligation, I believe, to think, well, you're not doing the right thing by the player group. Three is if you think, well, you know, the competition's, you know, you wake up in the morning, you don't want to be there. Well, that's the third one. Well, I can't answer for the board. I have not been told by any of the player group that they don't want me as coach. And they're quite open about that. I mean, they can talk to anyone they like. I'm not pressuring players. And three is I wake up in the morning, I want to get there. I want to get to the club. I want to work hard. And, you know, you have little lives. And I've got a press conference tomorrow, and I'll say the same thing tomorrow. And I know I'm going to get asked the same questions. You know, when you've been in certain circumstances, you learn a lot from people. You learn a hell of a lot from people. And I still, outside of the fact of well before my father got ill, he had paralysis, and I won't go through that, but August the 11th, we discovered that he had a size of a tumour in his chest that was as big as your fist. And typical, so typical of my father, he said to me, quote, Mike, this is going to be a bit hard to get over. Well, this is going to take a long time to get over. And the 13th of August, he was dead, so 2 days later. So, you know, the lesson there is he fought until it finished. He wasn't going to bail out. He wasn't going to... he knew the consequences. And I just think that when you look through life, it's too easy just to accept... just walk away. It just doesn't sit with me. Mm. I just think that you take on a role, unless someone takes it away from you who's in more power than what you are, in other words, the board, you find it out. Nice. You know, we've all been in... It's been worse positions for people in life than losing games of football. I'm not just going to walk away from that circumstance.
Mick, what about if the club said to you that they're not going to reappoint you for 2016? Would you still see out the end of the season?
Well, I don't see any point in not doing it. Is there something that's going to change? Is there someone going to... You know, the club has to. I'm not expecting an answer from that for some time. Now, if they choose to make the club, if they choose to make the answer this week or next week or week 13 or whatever the case may be, well, that's their prerogative. I don't go on my knees and I don't knock on doors to find out whether I'm coaching or I'm not coaching next year. If my contract's to the October 31st, cleared at the end of the football season. If they say we're not going ahead with it at some stage, well, it's up to them then to work it out what they're going to do. But if as far as I'm concerned, I coach until I don't coach, and it won't be my decision to get up and just walk out on more than the football team, more than the players. I've got staff there that we challenge each other, we work together, we've got it's a trustworthy staff. So, and there's other administrators within that, whether it be coaches or whether they be in the fitness area or other such area. You don't abandon people.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't get what that does for the football, yeah, nor the psyche. Whether it be right or whether it be wrong, at round two, the club declared that they were we were on a rebuilding thing. It's a shame that names were mentioned in the press. Whether they were mentioned by the club or not, it doesn't matter. They were mentioned, and it's a damn hard job to get people to want to keep playing at their top level. So the subconscious is such that we don't understand it, and confidence gets drained very quickly, and it takes a lot of time to restore confidence in the system, in football, in the way you play. And my role, along with my other coaches, is to restore as much confidence as we can, so when we run down the race, we believe we can win the game. I believe we can win games of football, but I don't kick the football. I've got to get my players to believe they can win the football match against very good opposition, and to do that, we need everyone at Carlton on the same track. It's a known fact that football clubs sometimes fragment. Right now, I feel as if I've got the support of Stephen and the board to go to the end of the year. But that changes. Well, it changes.
Mick, it sounds like to me that round two was the line in the sand. Your president came out and made that comment, and it sounds like you didn't agree with that. And from that moment on, it started to fragment. Do you?
I don't know if it's... I don't think the word's fragment, because I've never felt any hostility whatsoever from the board, and Stephen's been very upfront and honest with me all the way through this. So I've got no complaints about the board nor administration. I just feel that probably the way it was done, or why it was put across, and that might be just the way it was done with the journalists who interpreted it in such a manner. And of course, once it's interpreted a certain way, everyone runs with it.
But it sounds like you'd rather he didn't say that.
Well, it's not a matter of he didn't say it, or I didn't like the way he said it. No, that's not the case. It's just the fact of, I guess, when you're trying to coach a football side, you want to have everything. You want to have everyone in your corner, thinking that you can win games of football. A lot of these comments were made in the right manner to get the football club and supporters, I suppose, looking at where we're at. I've got to get my players up every week believing they can win. And if they don't believe they can win because they in a rebuilding stage, I've had players from other football clubs come to my club this year. It's Tut, Jones, Dick, and last year was Thomas, etc., Everett. I'm responsible for them. I feel once the club goes out and once the recruiting staff go and put these boys on our list, I feel very responsible to them.
Mm.
And I don't want to see them go, well, what do we come to Carlton for? I want to see them say, I know, Carlton's on the right track. We'll get there eventually. It might take some time. We'll get there. I feel very, very attached to my people I work with, whether they be the coaches, the fitness staff, administrators around the club, Jono Sullivan, Andrew McKay, and in particular the player group. I feel very attached to them, and I don't want them hurt thinking that we can't win games of football. They've got to, this is a massive challenge to turn a side around who's been thumped. There's no question we've been thumped. I'm not denying the fact that the scoreboard says it all. But where there's life, there's hope, and that's what I was referring to about my father. I mean, he fought until there was not one. I was with him, and I was holding his hand when he died, and I felt that he fought a very brave fight until there was nothing left. I'm not going to walk away from that.
But you made the analogy there, Mick, that you said your father's was terminal, and you've shared that story with us 2 years ago, and half our listeners were crying about it. It was really raw. You're not for one minute thinking that your position there is terminal, do you?
I don't know. No, my position is very, very clear. That the club has said to me, and they've seemed to say it publicly as well, that that this won't be looked at until I'm confused about the date because there's been no date put there in regard to whether it be later in the year, at the end of the year, but I know it's later than round eight. So all I'm saying is that I will coach my best until such time as there's either an acknowledgement or there's a or one way or the other. The acknowledgement is one way or the other. No, we won't, or yes, we will. So you don't just turn your toes up because you haven't got an answer. I haven't expected an answer. This was said last year that there won't be a decision made until late this year. So I've just gone on that basis. I'm not going to be sitting around tapping my fingers and thinking, well, when's this answer going to come? I just go for it as best and as hard as I possibly can. I enjoy a challenge, and you know, I don't enjoy losing. I don't enjoy getting thumped, and I don't think anyone at the football club.
We can see that, Mick.
Hey, you talked about that fighting spirit. That it must be so hard to accept then that when you watch what's going out in the field, a lot of people would say that your players haven't shown that same fighting spirit. And last week, only one of your lowest crowds in 15 years turned up. So they obviously feel like they're not really cracking in the way they want to see him play.
Well, we've got to turn it around. You know, last week's last week. I don't have to show you what took place, and I don't have to draw the attention to the crowd. You know the crowd numbers, and you know the score line. So you know, there's no use going over old ground. But we know what we've got in front of us. We've got a Friday night match against Geelong at the same stadium. It's a 6-day break, I think, by both clubs or thereabouts. So we know we've got a big challenge in front of us.
Hey, is that a blessing or a curse? Friday night footy.
I wish it had been Sunday night. This last Sunday.
Okay, get back out on the field.
Quick, get out there as quick as you can.
Stephen Silvani's assessment of the list, there's been a lot written about that and where you think it's at. Does that match yours and his?
I talk to Stephen quite frequently, but I haven't seen what he's officially said in the media, unless you can enlighten me.
Oh, well, I mean, whether the quotes are correct and they're attributed to Stephen, but there was word going around out of Melbourne that we played back from a rival radio station that everyone's up for trade except Mark Murphy. I mean, I don't reckon that's a good quote to be out there.
No, I certainly hope that's not the case. Bryce Gibbs has given, he's the latest one to sign a 5-year contract.
And we talked about that last week. I mean, that's
exactly
brilliant.
Exactly. And Mark Murphy is 4 years, and Dale Thomas, when he came here, was 5 years, I think. Everett and Doherty's just recently signed. I feel that it would be negligent of people to suggest that players who pen paper, particularly this year, haven't and late last year, haven't got the club at interest. And you know, why would you offer a 5 or 3 or five, whatever, or 4 year, whatever it is? But you know, those things have got to be put in perspective. You know, sometimes it's a throwaway line. You know, the captain's the captain and everyone else. But I'd be disappointed in that. From what I talked to Stephen about, that wouldn't be the case. He wouldn't have said that, I wouldn't have thought.
Hey, a lot of past players having a say on where the club's at the moment, some positive, many negative. What do you got to say about past players chipping in at this time?
Oh, I think it's an easy target. Depends what era you've come from. If you've come from an era through the 80s, 70s and 80s, you know, Carlton were a side that dominated in many bits and pieces of that competition. There was Hawthorn, Essendon, Carlton through the 70s, and there's a lot of players and supporters, for that matter, were born around that time or born just a bit earlier and understood the game. But nothing lasts forever. You know, nothing's permanent in life. And unfortunately, sometimes there's a standard set in a different competition. In the 70s, it was 12 sides played a Saturday afternoon. In the 80s, there was a couple of add-ons, but Carlton won at 87, I think, and then 95. So, you know, just into the 1990 become officially the AFL. So they've won one premiership since 1990. I think it's easy to pot from outside. I really do think that if your heart's at the place, you do your work at the club behind the door. It's easy. I think one of the easiest things to do, being radio and TV for 1 year and listening to people how they go about it, it's like they'll make a comment, it's forgotten about 5 minutes later and they go on to the next one. They don't realise the repercussions. But if they're persistently consistent with the abuse or whatever, then join the board.
Well,
join the board and make a decision.
Mark McClure is one of them. Does he ring you or offer support, or he just pots
you? I've never heard from Mark McClure.
Mick. Just dangerous. That's what you're
saying.
Well,
look, that's the way he operates. I mean, if he operates like that, that's the way he operates. And unfortunately, you know, any sort of respect I did have for him, which was quite considerable, quite frankly, because, you know, I did have a respect for him, has dissipated.
Now, how's our mate Triggy holding up, Mick? He's a man for a crisis. I'll tell you what, he'd have the bayonet in behind you. He'd be supporting you, Mick.
Well, he's quite shocked, I think, from being in a two-team town to a town that can devour itself very, very quickly, you know, or a side can be devoured so quickly through the media and unrelenting media. And this is where... it's a great testing time for Stephen, and I think it's a baptism of fire into a Melbourne-based club. So, fortunately, he's had enough experience as a coach and as an administrator to, I think, hold up.
Mick, we love talking footy. We've had to talk cunt. We've got it out there. But I want to know, are you with me? Because I love the football nous of yours. The 50-metre penalty on the weekend, the Crows had eight. The free kicks for 50, it's driving me bonkers. What do we do about it? Because it's giving me the P150s, I think Bick said.
Yeah, well, when you look at a 50-metre penalty, there's
I said P150, but it's the P155. Bick has just corrected me. But the 50-metre penalties, Bick, I've had a gutful of them.
Yeah, well, what happens with 50-metre penalties is the penalty, does it match the crime? And I think one of the things that the AFL tends to take a lot of notice of NFL football. If you have a look at a crime in a NFL game, the National Football League over there in the gridiron, it can range from 5, 10 to 15 metres, depending on the crime. I think that we're being petty on the 50, and it can be a very harsh one,
but
it can be a good one for 50 metres, but they both have the same measurement. Mm. So I know it's hard to police, but surely it's not the umpire's fault. The common sense thing does come into it. And I just think that sometimes with crowd noise, particularly in Adelaide these days, it's a different stadium. I don't think many people played in that stadium and come away thinking, you can't hear anything.
That's right.
And so let's give the benefit of the doubt to the player to whistling back, okay, you've got that split second to come back, or whatever the case may be, but... I know there's people saying, listen, we've got enough rules, don't make any more. But this one to me has always been it's a bit of like a stone in your shoe. It just irritates you all the time that the same crime the same distance can be judged on the difference of the crime. So I think that's, you can have a common sense one in there.
Yeah, one bloke knocks someone over after they mark it, and one bloke puts one millimetre over the mark and they get the same.
Right. Yeah. And they're pretty, let's face it, they're pretty damning, because if you have got it wrong, it's like anything forward or centre is a goal.
Mm, that's right.
Mm. So I just think that there's certain elements that need to be addressed in that way, because we don't want to see a game lost because blokes made a wrong decision, because there are wrong decisions, but 50 metres is a very harsh decision because, as I say, anything forward or centre is a goal.
Mm. Hey, Mick, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck for this week, and we'll be watching Friday night.
Good on you. Look after yourself, lad.
Yeah, love the chat, Mick. Tomorrow's another day. My mum used to always say it costs nothing to smile, and people in Melbourne need to smile more. And to all the knockers, go and get nicked. How honest is Mick?
That was great.
And next week will be better, and we'll look forward to that. Michael Malthouse, brought to us by North Point Toyota. They've got what you're looking for. Hillcrest, Prospect, Jepps Cross, Port Augusta, or northpointtoyota.com.au.